of the Sermon on the Mount is taken out so that we hear about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And now today, the part that was left out, the Our Father, which was, goes with prayer, is put in. And so we have this teaching of the divine Son of God about how we should pray. Now, it's interesting. When you pray, you say, Father. That's in the Lucan form, that's the way it goes. When you pray, say, Father. In the Catechism, and I've quoted this before, I think it's 2564, there's this description of prayer. Christian prayer is a covenant relationship between God and man. It is the work of God and ourselves. See, we can't pray without a movement of God. You see, it is the action of the Holy Spirit and ourselves, it goes on. It is wholly directed to the Father in union with the human will, with the Son of God made man. That's prayer. So our Lord obviously the Catechism is following the direction of our Lord. When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven. First thing you say, Father in heaven. Then hallowed be your name. Praying that God would hallow his name throughout the world. That he would act in such a way, they were praying, and we do too, like save your church. Reveal your love, your mercy, by restoring us to who we should be, so that your name would be held in honor. Reveal yourself. May your rule come. Kingdom gives us the idea that it's a territory. It's not. It's God's rule. And that's why, you see, after a while, people caught on that the rule of God is Jesus. He's the rule of God. That's why in the Synoptic Gospels we have all our Lord preaching about the rule of God. The rule of God is like, the rule of God is like. The whole term only comes once in John's Gospel and very few times in the rest of the New Testament, because now we understand that the rule of God is Jesus. He's the one in whom all these realities are and operate. So he's the one, and that's why the rest of the New Testament talks about Jesus. They're still talking about the rule of God. Praying, you see, may your rule come, may your authority, please, Lord. You know, if this keeps up, we're going to blow ourselves up. You know, we're going to destroy all our children. If you don't come and do something, we can't do it. Please come and give your church holiness so that the church of God, which is the physical presence of Christ on earth, will be glorified. People will see your face. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praying, you know, the Father's will is what? For the happiness of every human being he created. The eternal happiness, but also a human life. How many people are starving right now? How many people are frightened? How many children are abused? You know, we're praying, you see, that the will of God, which does not will those things, allows them because he's given us freedom and he wants that freedom to mature into love. And so we're praying, let your will be done. You know I mean, just look at the mess we're in. Please, somehow bring about your will. You are God. Give us peace and order. It may be that, in fact, it's quite likely, there will be some very difficult times coming. But they're all mercy that'll call us back to God. You know, you look at our country and you see all Iowa, all those places out there who just got hit with such storms. Now, if you look at the country in general, that's the most upright part of the country. Good Lord. I mean, like, they're sinners, but I mean, they're certainly not East Coast or West Coast. Why? Mercy. They will turn back. Can you imagine how many of those good Christian people are assembling in churches and praying, not just for themselves, but for the whole? See, they will. When it hits us, we're just going to curse God and die. We're not even bright enough to know it's a call to mercy unless we begin to pray now. And so you see how much that is important. This prayer to God. Give us this day our daily bread. And now we start to talk about our needs. Huh? The first need, bread. We have to eat. If we don't eat, we'll die. Well, that's not really an issue for most of us right now. But it could be. But it's an issue for so many people in the world. And when we say this prayer, we should join with them and pray with them. Give us this day our bread. Interesting that our Lord begins with that repetition, right? The perfection of that request is, of course, the Eucharist. And that's why, you know, the word that's in the text for daily can mean lots of different things. And that's why, you know, we're praying for bread. For the whole world, we're praying for bread. But we're also praying for the one bread that lasts forever, the body of Christ. And then we start to pray for our, forgive us. We need bread. We need forgiveness. And it says, you see, as we forgive those who sin against us. That's, our Lord tells us, you tell the Father, I want you to forgive me as I forgive others. You go tell the Father that, and may it sober you up. The Father will be more than generous with you if you forgive others. Lead us not into, it says, temptation and evil. It could mean, probably does, the temptation. The time when there will be the temptation. Deliver us from that, oh Lord. You know, we're stupid, we're sinners. We'll bring this on ourselves. But forgive us. Free us, protect us, and deliver us from the evil one. Evil in general, yes, but the evil one. The word is poneros. Poneros can mean evil or the evil one. Our Lord knows what life is like on this earth. He's lived it. He was assaulted every day by the evil one. He knows. And so he's telling us, you know, free us, lead us not, and deliver us from the evil one. And then Matthew takes another saying of Jesus by way of commentary on the Our Father. And you'll find this the same in St. Mark. The only thing they pick up to comment on is forgiveness. The whole parable about the man who wouldn't forgive. How many times should I forgive? 70 times 7, and so forth. And then that parable about the fellow who owed his king the national debt, and it was forgiven her. And the conclusion, this is the way you have to forgive. Here, the one comment on the Our Father, here and then in another way in Mark, if you forgive others their transgressions, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive you your transgressions. So in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, in the whole tradition of the church, the gospel writers put this kind of a comment. The main thing to remember from the Our Father, forgive each other. And if you're doing that, the rest will be clear. It's very, very beautiful. But if he's reminding us like this, there must be a reason.